Hello and welcome to the Church on the Ridge podcast. This is David Wall. How do you hear from God? How do you know that He's speaking to you? And how then do you act upon that? Pastor Kevin shares a great message this week on just that, how we can hear from God and then actually do what we need to do as a result. Check it out.
Well, welcome to church. My name is Kevin, and Jeff is saying, no, you do not have to scoot in anymore because everyone who's in the back that needs a seat has a seat now. So you do not need to scoot in. But just as a rule of thumb, hey, we're tighter up here. So if you come to this gathering and you like to sit on the ends, maybe you could start sitting in the middle initially. And then when people come in, just saying, it'll help everyone out. Hey, I love veterans. And this weekend, I really like because these are the type of men and women who inspire me. And they inspire me because of this reason. They believe in something, and then they go do something about it. Ask Josh. Josh, what was I for the Halloween extravaganza today, or this past Halloween?
You were a pilot.
That's not true. I was an Army guy. In fact, I was a captain. I took Matt Child's old clothes, and I said, you know what? These are the guys that, man, I look at, and I go, man, they're doing something really incredible. And it takes courage to do that, right? It's kind of easy to say, yeah, this is what I believe in. But then to go do something about it is what puts them a cut above. And I think about guys in the Bible. You hear story after story of these men of faith who stand up for what they believe in. And I read those stories and go, well, this is incredible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three Hebrews who got taken into exile, into slavery by Babylon. And this king, he made this big golden statue, and he said, hey, we're going to all bow down to this statue. And these guys, these three guys, they come before him, and I love what they said. They said, we want to make it clear to you, my majesty. We will never bow down to this gold statue or serve the gods that you serve. So the king got mad, and he threw him into a furnace, 7 times hotter than it should have been. And he watched these three men in the furnace, and guess what? They didn't burn up like they're supposed to. In fact, there was a fourth man in there. Jesus was in there with them. And they came out of the furnace, and the king was so in awe that he said, whoa, that God that you serve, that's the God we're all going to serve now. And he not just inspired himself, but he made a ruling. It says, for now on, all of everybody that's under my control, we're going to serve this God. And they changed a nation for what they believed in and what they stood up for. Man, these guys, I go, okay, this is cool. I'm inspired by our veterans, and I read about these heroes, and I go, Jesus, if you're my commander, just like a military have a commander, right? And they tell you what to do, you go do it. Jesus, I've made you king, so I want you to speak into my life. I'm going to go do what you ask me to do. Let's go do this. And I start getting excited about this. And we're going to push back the darkness. We're going to share the love and the hope of Jesus with all my neighbors. And I start running out the door to go do it. And I stop and I go, wait a second. What am I going to do? Seriously, have you guys ever thought about this? You go, I'm in. Sometimes that's the easy decision. I'm in. But now what do I do with it? Where am I getting my marching orders from? I don't know. I think about this a lot, and I've talked to many of you. I know you think about it too, because it's this question of how do I know what God is actually asking me to do? I want to go do it, but I don't know what He's asking me to do. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about that question. If Jesus is our commander, how are we receiving orders from Him? How are we going to be men and women who stand up and go do something about what we believe in? And so we're going to look at this story about a guy named Samuel. And Samuel was just a boy in this story. And it actually comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read the whole story. But it's really cool. In this story, God speaks to Samuel. It's the first time He ever speaks to Samuel. And as He speaks to him, He speaks in three different ways. And that those three different ways are the same ways that we can still hear from the Lord today. And so really what we're going to do is, here, I'll signpost today. You want to know where we're going? So you can track with me. Number one, we're going to read the story. Number two, we're going to break the story down and look at these three different ways that God communicates with us. Then there's this fourth, there's this part that says, man, if I'm hearing from the Lord, how do I know if it's reliable? How can I prove if I know for I know that it is God speaking to me? And then we're going to talk a little bit about application, because what's the point if we just talk about these things and we don't put it into application, right? And I'll talk about this window too. And I'm sorry, Mark, this window is a little bit dirty. But trust me, this is actually a brand new window. They come dirty. Who knew? You know. That's why you have a business. You ready? We're going to read 1 Samuel 3 together here. I love how it starts. It says, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and those visions were quite uncommon." And I love how this story starts, because I feel like this sometimes. I want to serve the Lord, but the messages I receive from him are very rare. I think back on my week, and how often was God telling me to do something or giving me a message to go do something? And so the story continues. Verse 2. "One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God." So they are living in the temple, the holy place where God's spirit resided. "Suddenly the Lord called out, 'Samuel!' 'Yes,' Samuel replied, 'what is it?' Got up and he ran to Eli. 'Here I am, did you call me?' 'I didn't call you,' Eli replied. 'Go back to bed.' So he did. Then the Lord called out again, 'Samuel!' Again, Samuel got up, went to Eli. 'Here I am, did you call me?' 'I didn't call you, my son,' Eli said. 'Go back to bed.'" How many of you can relate to the story that your kids coming into your room, you're like, seriously? This morning I was up at 4 a.m. because my daughter couldn't find her baby owl, a little stuffed animal. She was sleeping on top of it. I've been up for a while. I'm ready to go. I hope you guys are ready. Verse 7, "Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never heard a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and he went to Eli. 'Here I am, did you call me?' Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, 'Go and lie down again, and if someone calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."' So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Samuel replied, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I'm going to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God, and he has not disciplined them.'" Okay? So here's Eli, who's about to get this punishment because he's a terrible dad. He doesn't discipline his kids. "So I have vowed that the sin of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifice or offerings." Samuel stayed in bed till morning. Notice he didn't get up that time, right? "Eli, guess what the Lord told me?" Got up, opened the door of the tabernacle as usual, but he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. Finally, Eli called to him and said, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told him, and he didn't hold anything back. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks is best." And then as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. All of Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as the prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. So here we have Samuel. We're going to dive into the three ways that God communicates with us, get into the nuts and bolts of hearing from the Lord. And here's the first one. What is the first thing Samuel hears in this story? He hears God calling out his name. So the first communication method is this. God will speak directly to us. God spoke directly to Samuel, and God will speak directly to us today. And it's interesting because think about where Samuel was. He was living in the temple, right? He was living in the holy place where God would speak to his people and people would come from all around to hear what the Lord had to say. And today things have changed a bit, but not completely. See, the Lord still speaks from his temple, but the temple has changed locations. The place that God now resides is no longer in this building in Shiloh. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, says, "Don't you realize the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are the temple. Now, when I read that, I go, wait a second. I can read this, but I know who I am. I'm Kevin. And I know that describing me as holy is not accurate. Right? There are many things that I go by. Holy, never heard my wife say that. Never got that on a card. Oh man, Kevin, you're so holy today. Because I know what I've done. I know I've made mistakes. I know I hurt people's feelings sometimes. Not intentionally, but I do. And I know we all have. But here's what makes Christianity, following Jesus, different than any other religion in the world. See, with any other religion, you're trying to achieve, you're trying to do these steps, you're trying to work your way up until you finally have, you're there. You're in eternity, you're in heaven, you're in nirvana, whatever it may be. Right? You earn your way. But with Christianity, it's different. God said, I'm going to come meet you where you're at. Kevin, I'm going to come meet you where you're at with all of your imperfections, with all of your sins. And he left heaven, and he came in the form of a man, and this man was named Jesus. And when Jesus came, he talked about who God was. And he made a way for us that it wasn't about how good we could be or how much we could earn our way. He died on that cross. And when he died on that cross, guess what happened? He said, everything you guys have done, it's forgiven. It's wiped clean. And this is one of those weird concepts that's hard for me to understand. Because we're in our culture, right? We always work and work and we earn our way for everything. But not in this instance. In this instance, God came and he forgave us. So then when God looks into me, he goes, okay, I see Kevin, and I don't see any of those sins. I see Kevin, I don't see any of those mistakes. I see Kevin, and God actually sees holiness. And because I'm holy now, because of what Jesus did, his spirit can come reside inside of me. It is now a holy place for the spirit of God to live in us. No longer is it in the temple, but it is in you and me. And it's this crazy thing that we can never do on our own. And so if God can speak to Samuel in the temple, God will speak to us today through his Holy Spirit. And that's why in your notes, hopefully you're taking notes, it says direct communication, but then there's a parenthesis and it says Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us directly. And it's one of those concepts, as I talk about it, when I describe it, it feels like my heartstrings are being pulled in a direction that I normally don't get pulled. Because for me, when I make decisions, usually they're all about me and what I want. And so when this thought comes into my mind that goes, hey, you should actually reach out or do something for someone else, I go, whoa, that's not my normal thought. Because my normal thoughts are about what I want. And all of a sudden I have this thought or this feeling, this inclination to go serve somebody else or do something for someone else. I go, oh, hold on. That could be God's spirit leading me. All of a sudden I'm going throughout my day and out of my normal, God goes, oh, hey, go do this. Or a Bible verse pops into my mind. And I go, oh, it's the word of God speaking to me here. It's not natural. It's God's spirit leading me and directing me. And here's the crazy thing. Sometimes it's inconvenient. In fact, a lot of the times it's inconvenient. I don't have time to call this person. I don't have time to make a stop here and grab lunch with them. Or it takes courage. I remember one time I was at the park, and I just had one of those moments when I feel like God's leading me to go pray for this guy. I didn't know who this guy was, and I go, excuse me, sir, I don't know you. My name's Kevin. Hey, can I pray for you for anything? Guy goes, no, it's weird. Cool. Have a great day, man. I walked off. Now, I tell you that because it took a lot of courage for me to go up and talk to him. I didn't know who he was. It's just some guy. And then when he said no, I was like, oh, even more. Like, my face just got, like, red, right? I'm like, all right, cool. See ya. And that happens. But, man, I'd rather err on the side of being letting God use me than not. In fact, it's not our own nature that is driving us anymore. Romans 8:9 says, you're not controlled by your own sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So as I talk about these three ways that God communicates with us, I want to share just a little personal story about how God communicated to me in these same three ways this past week. I'm going to tell you right now, this story I'm going to share with you is not amazing. Okay, it's like subpar. And when I tell you like the answer, when I tell you like the result of this story, you're not going to be like, "Well, that's amazing." It's not, right? But I think it's a really cool example of how God is using me and putting my faith into action. So I'm in my quiet time. I'm doing my first 7 minutes, and I have my wife is doing it with me. And if you've never done your first 7 minutes with your spouse, try it. It's crazy. There's some accountability there that you wouldn't believe. And I feel like the Lord is speaking to me saying, hey, you should begin praying for your neighborhood more, the people in your neighborhood. Cool. One of those things that I would not normally choose to do, but because I feel like God was speaking to me, leading me, speaking to me directly, I'm doing it. So I made this little map. I just drew it on the back of a piece of paper, and I drew all the houses out, and I started writing in the people, and I got about 15 people written down. There's 30 people in my neighborhood, so I knew about half of them. And I said, okay, it's easier for me to pray if I know them by name, and so I'm going to start praying for these 15 people, and so I did it. Nothing amazing. No one came to my house and knocked and said, thank you for praying for me. I've now become a believer or anything like that. It's just simply doing what I felt God was asking me to do. And you don't know what God's doing in the background. You don't know what God's doing when we respond. But the important thing is that we respond and do it. And so ask yourself, what has God been communicating directly to you this week? What has he been communicating to you in your first 7 minutes or throughout the day as he's leading you? And if the answer is nothing, it probably could be one of two things. It could be, number one, is you've never actually made Jesus king in your life and asked for forgiveness. And so if you've never done that, then that place inside of you is not a holy place, so his spirit's actually not even residing in you. So how is he going to direct you and lead you with this Holy Spirit if he's not even residing in you? The other thing could be you've gotten so good at ignoring the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something that it comes natural for you. And so my encouragement for you would be to begin praying for awareness. Lord, help me be aware when you are leading me throughout my day. So that's the first one. And as we keep reading the story, we see the second way that God communicates with us. See, after God calls out to Samuel, who does Samuel run to? Eli. God is using somebody in Samuel's life who has more wisdom than him. So number two is this: God communicates through other people. He communicates through other people. Samuel never heard from the Lord before. How was he supposed to know what it sounded like? But God will use people if you allow them to speak into your life. Never underestimate how the right people can move you in the right direction if we allow them to. So go to those people who love you and who care for you and who want the best for you. You know what's crazy? That person, Pete's right here. Pete taught me this summer, Pastor Pete. And he said, Kevin, there is nobody in your life more sanctioned for God to use to speak into your life than your spouse. True? True. And as he said that, I realized that's true. My wife is in this position for God to use more than anybody else. So as crazy as it sounds, that person that you're sitting next to right now, probably your spouse, could be a friend or a family member. There is no one more sanctioned in your life to speak into it. But you have to ask them and you have to listen, right? If you don't have the right people around you, you're not going to get the right answers, because the opposite's true. What if you have the wrong people around you? They're going to give you the wrong answers. And so are you in a community group? Those are the right people, because in your community group, these are the people that are going, hey, I know what you're working on right now because you've been sharing with me, and I want the same thing you want. I want to be growing in my faith. I need people like that in my life. And then you have to ask them, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, speak into this situation in my life. Hey, I feel like God was leading me in this way. What do you think? And then allow them to speak into it. So my personal example was, I was in my community group, and I was sharing this prayer thing, right? Showed them my little map. And they were like, Kev, you have blank houses in your neighborhood. I'm like, yeah, don't we all? Kevin, why don't you go up and introduce yourself? We know you have no problem with that. Knock on their door, find out their name, maybe give them a gift, and then you can begin praying for them more specifically. And so what I did was I'd taken what I thought God was speaking to me, and I shared it with my group. And that's a simple example, but let me say this. You probably shouldn't be making any major life decisions without bringing it through your group. Guys, here's a big decision in my life. What do you speak into this? And so they said, I said, okay, guys, I'll do it. I will meet two of my neighbors this week. Before we meet again next Monday, I will have met two of my neighbors, and I'll have written them in my little prayer map. And so I did. Two neighbors. And so ask yourself this. What is God trying to teach you through other people right now? Or what has he been trying to teach you through somebody else right now? And then we come to the third way that God speaks to us. See, Samuel wakes up, and he doesn't want to tell Eli what God had told him. I can just imagine that pressure. Because here's Eli, right? The man of God. Also, the guy who's raising him as a child. Also, his boss. Takes on quite a few different hats right there. And Samuel gets to say, hey, you're a terrible dad. Get ready for God's punishment. And so I don't know if he would have told him or not, but then Eli kind of forces the circumstance a bit, the situation, when he says, and may God strike you and kill you if you hide anything from me. And so here's the third way God speaks to us, and he speaks to us through our circumstances. Our circumstances. Not all of them are going to be this brutal, but God may use the circumstances to begin nudging you or directing you or communicating to you. And here's what's cool about Samuel. For him, in this circumstance, he didn't maybe want to have this conversation, but when he did, he was actually stepping into his calling. Because God would continue to speak to him. And as God continued to speak to him, he would share that truth with the people of Israel. And so through this kind of awkward and uncomfortable circumstance, he essentially walked into his new job. And so God will use our circumstances. He'll use the good ones. Good ones, because you'll feel like God is leading you, and then you'll see things line up and doors open, and you go, oh, okay, I see how my circumstances, this is from the Lord. Sometimes you use hard situations, right? Because we are stubborn. We are creatures of habit. We get stuck in our ways, and a hard circumstance will kind of push us out of that routine or that rut. Or maybe he's trying to refine you through one of these circumstances. Some of you are in a hard circumstance right now. And I just want to take a quick pause and remind you that, man, you're not alone. God is still working for you in those circumstances. And those things that are set out against you, God will end up using for his glory. So, my personal example, my circumstance, I went into Safeway to get my little gift that I was going to get to introduce myself to my neighbors. And there were apples on sale, and there was caramel on sale. And I went, easy, caramel apples. So I bought a little bag of apples, one of those caramel things that you dip the apples into. And I made two bags because I said I was going to meet two neighbors. And I just went down the street because there's neighbors not far from me that I didn't know. Knocked on the first house, nobody was home. Okay, cool. They're not on my prayer map, I guess. Circumstances, right? Went to my next neighbor, knocked on their house, and I was like, oh, hey, good to meet you. And we're talking. I was like, I just want to be a good neighbor, and I know I haven't met you yet, and I've lived here for a while. And he goes, hey, no problem. I only come out like once a year anyway, so cool. Well, now I know you. And so remembered his name, Dan, got it. Went to my next neighbor. He's home, and same thing. Hey, good to meet you. My name's Kevin. I'm your neighbor. And he's like, oh, yeah, great neighbor. When did you move in? Said like 3.5 years ago. Anyway, got to meet him and his parents and his kids and his wife, and they wrote them all down on the prayer map. And it's just one of those things, like, man, it's the circumstances, right? What I got them and the neighbors that I met just happened to be home. And so these are the people I've been praying for specifically. So these are our three ways. God will speak to you directly. He'll speak to you through other people. And he'll speak to you through your circumstances. However, there's this crazy thing that sometimes we can't discern what God is trying to speak to us directly. Sometimes there'll be people in our life who actually give us bad advice. And sometimes we may read a circumstance wrong because we might see something closing, but God may want us to press into that situation. And so this final foundational proof that it really is from God is this. It's the foundation of all his communication. It's the word of God. It's the Bible. It's scripture. See, if you feel like God is trying to speak to you and it does not line up with his word, it's not from God. Everything that he says will be filtered through the word of God. If you feel like God is speaking to you and it does not line up with the character as described in the Bible about who God is, it's not from him. So this is my window. I told you I'd come back to this. I know you're dying to know. I think about it like this. God is speaking to me through these three different ways, right? However, most windows have this behind it. It's a screen. It's a filter. So he could be speaking to you through his Holy Spirit. He could be speaking to you through others or circumstances, but everything he speaks to you will be filtered through the word of God. I don't know. It helps some people. You guys are just looking at me like, that's good, Kevin. That's fine. Here's the crazy thing. As we begin to better and better understand the word of God, we're going to realize there's actually a lot of things that we don't even need to hear from the Lord on, because he's already spoken about it. And I loved a youth pastor, even as an adult, as a discipleship pastor. Sometimes people come up to me, Kevin, can you pray with me about this thing that's going on in my life? And I'll look at it and I go, I don't think I need to. God's already spoken on that issue. No need to pray. He's already told us. Maybe we could pray for you to have courage to live out his word or the boldness to actually do it. But there's often things in our life where we don't even need to be hearing from the Lord. He's already told us what to do. Right? And as we understand his word better, we go, oh, I already know who he is and what he's asked me to do. I don't need to question whether I should go help my neighbor bring those groceries in, because she's my neighbor. Love your neighbor. I should go help her. And so God's word will always confirm his communication, whether it's through the Holy Spirit, through others, or circumstances. Okay, let's close with this. Application. What are we going to do with this? Because that's the hard part, right? What's the nuts and bolts of hearing from the Lord? Well, now we've got four different ways to hear from the Lord. Easy. Let's go put these into action. And I have two applications here. One I want to share with you because I think it could be relevant later or maybe to some of you right now. But the second application is why I think God put this talk on my heart today. So we'll do the first one really quick, and then we'll get to the one I think is most important. Here's the first one. The application is anytime you make a major decision in your life, you're about to make a big decision and you want to hear from the Lord on it. Well, use all four of these methods. Right? When God begins to work in your spirit, oh, okay, he's asking me to do this, whatever this may be. At that point, your next step is to bring it to your community group. Guys, what do you think about this? Here's what I feel like the Lord is teaching me and telling me to do right now. And then from there, watch as circumstances begin to line up. And if they're lining up and all of that is confirmed by the word of God, or maybe another way to say it is, it doesn't go against the word of God, man, keep walking that out. That's the Lord speaking to you, and you can have peace about these big decisions. I know for a while I always struggled with, man, are we going in the right, is this the right move for our family? Man, you walk these processes out, you can have peace about it. Here's the second application. Here's the cool one. That's cool too, but here's the cool one. It's the application for daily living. For daily living. Because I think that God is communicating to us daily. And I think we are called to be men and women of action daily. Action when throughout our days, God's spirit begins leading us and we go, oh, I think that could be God. That's when we need to respond. Throughout your day, when you end up in a conversation with somebody and they're like, oh, wait a second. What is God trying to clarify in my life right now? Daily, today, let's respond to what he's doing in my life today. As you ever find yourself in a circumstance, you're like, how did I end up here? Like, you just look around, like you take a step back, like, what in the world? I'm on the youth stage speaking to adults right now. Like, what is going on right now? And you go, what is God speaking to me through this circumstance? Often in your morning quiet times, in your 7 minutes, God is going to give you a verse or an idea. And in that moment, you're going to use it later on that afternoon because you don't know who you're going to run into. It's that, should I or should I, or do I, is this God or is this not God? It's those moments, moment after moment after moment throughout our day when we're kind of on that edge of whether God is speaking to us or not, that we are called to respond. And what's cool is we're coming off tremendous momentum as a church. Man, what a great commitment Sunday we had 2 weeks ago. And here we are in this new place. And look how it came together. Man, God is moving in our church, doing some really cool things. But it's not just our church as a whole that he's moving. He's moving through the individual people in our church. And if I think back to my previous week and I go, I really can't remember one thing that God was asking me to do. Man, I've been missing it. You ever have those moments when you're like, I don't know, I should or I shouldn't. I had one of those moments this week. I see Siri right here, and Siri was there. So I had found one of these, right, we're moving as a church, and it's one of these big, like, confetti cannons that you, like, twist, and like, poof, like, it's just, and I found it because I'd forgotten I had it. Jeff gave it to me, and he knew I'd appreciate it, and I'm holding this confetti cannon, and I see Siri like 3 feet away from me, like working away, like actually working, right? And we're all in this big community office. And Megan Beamskez looks over and she's like, seeing what's going through my mind. I want you to watch. Just watch this. Watch how this played out.
I mean, it'll have a pop. I doubt it'll be awful. Just try it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
It didn't work.
Oh, is it broken?
Nope.
He's pointing it right.
I love it. I love it because I that's funny. And in that moment, I was thinking, I knew what I was going to be talking about this weekend. And I go, okay, if that's anything like real life, this is awesome because Siri's here. If anything that's like real life, how often does that happen when we're going, I think God is trying to do something in my life, but I'm not sure. And we end up putting the confetti cannon down. We walk away. Right? I would have no story if I didn't. And so let's think back to our last week for just a moment here. Did we have any of those God moments? And I have written down on your paper there something that it's not a zing at anybody here. It's just truth. It's that these God moments and these God stories, they don't come from complacent people. There'll be moments this week when we have an opportunity to engage in God's story. There'll be moments in our daily lives today when we'll have opportunity to respond. Because the confusing part, remember what we started with? I want to go. Jesus, you're commander, you're king. I want to respond to you. I just don't know what to do. Okay, problem solved. The window, right? We know God's going to be speaking to us in 3 different ways. It'll all be confirmed by his word. Okay, we know the communication method now. Now the ball's in our court. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do when God begins communicating with us and he asks us to respond? And here's what I believe. Hey, we cleared up some of the confusion this morning. Now we can go do something with our faith. Now we can be like our veterans and be men and women of action when it comes to what we believe in. And man, that's what our church is going to be known as. Man, those, you go to church in the Ridge, man, you do something about what you believe in. Let me ask, final thought here, then I'm going to pray and we'll be done. It's from Bear Grylls. Okay, I read his devotional every morning. Bear Grylls says this: if you're seeking God throughout your day, you should expect something special to happen. Today. You should expect something to happen today. So, Father, I thank you for this time we've had just to talk about some of this communication. Lord, you are King. And many people in this room have decided to say yes to you. So, Lord, as we begin to walk this out, help us do so in a way that we are responding and we are action-oriented and we're saying yes and we see you moving in our daily lives, Lord. So thank you for being a living God who is still very much speaking to us today and is still present in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.